I won't have to tell you this, you'll figure this out soon, but I'm passionate about the Lord. He saved me. 8 years ago, I was heading straight to hell. I was running from God. I was living in denial. I was a professional hypocrite. I was a con artist. You know, I could have scammed you in a moment. I knew the right things to say, but I had the wrong heart. I didn't understand God's love. I was a prideful man. I hurt my wife and kids terribly. And thank God for His mercy. I was lost. God wasn't lost. I was lost. He came and found me. And He saved me 8 years ago. My story's a little peculiar and different. I'm probably not the normal. I was saved 8 years ago. In 2 years, He raised me up. They asked me to start pastoring at church. So I've never been to Bible school. I'm not really qualified or certified in any of that way, but God's raised me up, and I'm just thankful that they all asked me to come here, and I'm very humbled to be here. I'm not here thinking I'm somebody. I know Jesus is Lord. And I know who I was, see? I know who I was. And when you're forgiven much, you love much. And love changes your lives, people. You don't abuse grace. You don't misuse grace. You don't be afraid to preach this love of God feeling like somebody's going to walk all over the blood of Jesus. No, we preach the love and righteousness of God so that a man can see his first love and begin to respond back in love to God. How can we even worship God like this brother worshiped God this morning if we don't see his first love? Amen. True heart worship can only come where the revelation of God is known. When you see who He is, then you respond to who He is. Amen. We're talking about righteousness. Listen, when you get a revelation of righteousness, and I encourage you, don't ever read your Bible like a storybook. Don't ever read your Bible like a novel or something. You read your Bible because it's the Word of the living God. You read your Bible because here's what the Lord showed me. This will get you. You know, you probably heard Pastor Jim preach this. You probably heard a lot of ministers preach this. How you got to die to live, and you got to die to yourself. You got to be crucified in Christ. You know, you're buried in the baptism of death so you can live. It's not about you. It's about Him. You got to get rid of the flesh to live in spirit. You've heard all that before, right? And it's true. It's all true. But one day I was opening my Bible just about a month ago. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And I got real quiet and I was like, whew, that's so good. You hear it all the time. You can get familiar with the scripture, you know. But when God speaks it, it's rhema. It comes. It's got you. And I was like, whew, this is so good. The Word was God. And I'm thinking, this is God. This is God. When you're reading them red letters in gospel and Jesus speaking, when you see me, you see the Father, He said. He's the manifest will of God. He's the expressed image of His brightness and His glory. And the Lord said, in the beginning was God. And then He shifted the voice of God and He whispered to me. And He said, this is your face-to-face encounter with me. And He whispered, you're going to get this. And He said, no man can look into my face and live. You get that? I'm not just reading this book. I'm looking into the very face of Almighty God. And by faith, I'm receiving who He is. And who He is overtaking me. And I die and He lives. I can't look into His face. John got a revelation of Jesus and fell as if he was dead. Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord and said, woe is me, I'm undone. We need undone so God can do us right. Okay? Now watch. All of life has lied to you. The spirit of the world, the spirit of Satan, of course. The spirit of human reasoning and rationale. Psychology is your enemy. Your answer is not through the rationale of man and the human opinions of mine. Your answer is not in the counsel that flows through your own mind every day. Your answer is in this book. He said, only truth can make you free. You study, you show yourself approved. You cleave and cling to the Word of God because it's eternal. He's raised it above all His name. Please don't let this sit on the shelf. Please don't, and don't just read it when the pastor says turn to hear. Don't just read along. You get in a quiet place and you start thanking God for His Word and believing He'll speak to you. And you ask Him where He wants you to feed and you get in there and feed. Bless God. Okay? Because this is my disciple, the one that studies that Word and continues in that Word. And it says, he shall know the truth epinosis, understanding, experiential understanding. He shall know the truth, and the truth, the truth, not some mystical smoke from heaven, not some touch in a service, the truth, the truth. The lights turn on. What you never saw before, you see, and you'll never be the same. The truth shall set you free. How can you be saved 8 years and pastor for six? Because the truth set me free. And when the truth set me free, the gospel says old things pass away. All things. Now, I'm going to challenge you in this one right off the bat. The more you let go and the more you give, the more you'll receive, the more you'll be changed. You can't hold on to anything of yesterday when you come to God. You come repentant. You come humble. You come empty. You come broken. You sell out and say, take me and raise me up, God, and make me what you created me to be for your glory, period. There's a lot of preaching out there that tells us we're always going to be weak and we're always going to fail and we're always going to miss it. And there's a lot of theology that has you walking out those double doors on eggshells waiting for the next time you're going to sin, so you have to call on the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. We have so focused on the problem. We have so let our identity wrap around the miscues of life and what we've done and what we haven't done and what others have done and others haven't done. And we center around the problem. And most of our prayer lives are led by the problems and the struggles and the things we're concerned about. And most of our conversations are how bad it's going. And we're identified and stereotyped through the weakness of flesh instead of the strength of God.